as we've already heard this morning, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That's the single verse that I'm going to be speaking on this morning. One phrase of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Because each of us needs the love of a father. Every single one of us needs to experience a father's love. And God says, this is the love that I've lavished on you, haven't held back on, just poured it out on you, that we should be called his children, and that's what we are. That need for a father's love is something more deeply embedded in us than our DNA. It was placed within our heart by our Creator. The great mathematician Blaise Pascal said that there is a God-shaped void in each one of us, an emptiness that only God can fill. And more research confirms that that void within us is in the shape of a father. Study after scientific study has shown that fathers truly matter to children. How important is a father's love? How important is that a father's love? Our society has tragically undervalued the father's importance over the last generation, maybe over the last 100 years. Even secular authors over the past 20 to 30 years have recognized the power of a father's love and involvement. More than 20 years ago, David Blankenhorn, in his book, Fatherless America, confronting our most urgent social problem, in that book he comments, fatherlessness is the most harmful demographic trend of this generation. It is the leading cause of decline in the well-being of children. Well, sadly, that assessment is still true. Study after study underscores the importance of a father in the lives of their children. A Princeton University sociologist concluded after a decade-long study of thousands of children that fathers matter to children. A child is twice as likely to drop out of school when there's no father in the home. Fatherless children are twice as likely to have children out of wedlock. And these risk factors are true regardless of class, of race, of gender. Fatherless children are more likely to use drugs and become sexually active at an early age. More than half of the teenagers who have attempted suicide live in single-parent homes. Most children who run away from home are leaving fatherless homes. Approximately 70% of juveniles who end up in long-term correctional facilities grew up without a father at home. 75% of juvenile murderers come from fatherless families. We had a young man that attended church years ago in this church and ended up in prison after brutally murdering his grandparents. And he said, well, I guess I'll be in prison like my father is. The trends continue. The statistics are in. The role of a father is vitally important for human well-being and flourishing. The role of a father is vitally important. Scientific evidence proves it. Now, if you're a single parent or a child growing up in a single parent home without a dad, don't despair by these statistics. Understand that these statistics don't mean that a child with an absent, negligent, or abusive father will become a social casualty, but it does put that child at a higher risk. We need fathers, and we need people to step in as fathers. The need of a father is baked into the creation itself. The lack of a father's love leaves a gaping hole in the heart of a child. We are designed by God to need a father's love. And this need is so great, and the consequences of not having a father's love is so harmful, that God gives a special promise to those who haven't experienced their father's love. And I said that to the children. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. I will be a father to the fatherless. says God in his holy habitation. God is looking down and he says, I want to fill that gap. You were made for a father's love, and I'm there to fill it. We all need that father's love, not just an earthly father, but our heavenly father. Throughout the scriptures, God says over and over again, a father's love is vitally important. And so God wants you to experience his perfect, his powerful, his purposeful love. We've been going through the Apostles' Creed, and the first part of that creed, the first article of that creed, simply says this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And there are two main truths that I want to convey this morning. And the first is that God Almighty is the creator of the universe, both of what is seen and what is unseen. That means the physical realm and all those galaxies and nebulae way out in space and all the way down to this beautiful planet. That's a tiny blue dot in the vastness of the universe. God created that which is visible, but also that which is invisible, those spiritual realm that we can't see, heaven and hell, angels and demons. That's all part of the creation God made. And that creation that he made has a purpose. And that purpose is that we would experience a closeness and intimacy with God throughout all ages, forever, that he wants to reveal to us. His purpose is that we experience his love as a father to his children. And so those two great themes in the first article, the first part of the creed, are simply that this Almighty God is creator, and this creation has a purpose, and that purpose is for us to experience him, God Almighty, as a loving, caring, sustaining father. In his explanation of this statement, Martin Luther wrote, I believe that God has created me and all that exists. He has given to me and still sustains my body and soul, my senses and all my members, my reason and all the powers of my soul. I believe that he gives me food and clothing, home and family, and all material blessings, and that he daily provides abundantly for the needs, all the needs of my life, protects me from all danger, and guards and keeps me from all evil. I believe that he does this because of his fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, I should thank, praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true. That I should thank him and obey him, not out of his threat of punishment or his judgment, but because of his fatherly and divine goodness, which he shows to us in providing and protecting and caring for us. That's the image of Father that God wants us to understand and to receive, and that it just floods through the scriptures from beginning to end. Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hands. God has created us, and he's created us to experience him as a loving and nurturing and caring Father. In 2 Corinthians 6:18, the Apostle Paul quotes from the Old Testament a couple of verses, and it says, And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. God wants us to recognize that he has created us to be his sons and daughters, to be adopted into his family. Psalm 103 verse 13 says, Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And that word fear doesn't mean to cringe in terror. It means to have a awe-inspired respect and reverence for God. Yes, ultimately we'll be judged, but he is loving Father. He wants us to experience him in his awesomeness, but also in his intimacy, is intimacy. That's not an image a lot of us have of God. You know, we see him out there as the judge. We see him out there ready to put his thumb on us when we're having too much fun. No, God wants to draw us close to himself and for us to experience the closeness and love of a father to his child. Yes, the Lord does discipline us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Again, it's quoted in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "My son, don't despise the Lord's discipline, and do not despise his rebuke, because the Lord does discipline those he loves as a father in the son he delights in." God delights in us as his children, and in doing so, he wants the best for us. And so he does put us through some discipline. We do go through times which seem like unnecessary suffering, but God is there. He says, "I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm there to be that loving father for you." Jesus is the prime teacher for us in what it means for God to be our heavenly Father. He is the prime example for us. The Aramaic word for father used by Jesus to speak of his own intimate relationship with God is the word Abba. It's the Aramaic word Abba. It can be translated daddy. It is a very intimate term. And so that is what the disciples heard, and that is what they experienced when they saw Jesus' close relationship to his Father. That is the model for us. This intimate, close relationship as Jesus pours out his heart to his heavenly Father, as his Father responds by saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's a powerful verse in the Gospel of Mark where God expresses his love for his Son. And I guess it's powerful for me because my grandfather, my dad's dad, never did that for his son. He never gave him his blessing. In fact, before he died, he made a tape, and in that tape, he says, "I want you to play this after I die." And part of what he said is, "Son, I was disappointed in you." Dad went through a whole lot of personal agony because he never heard his earthly dad say, "Son, I'm proud of you. I love you." God said for his son, "Son, this is my beloved son. This is the son whom I love and in whom I'm well pleased." And dads, we need to do that for our kids. But if you've never heard it from your earthly father, hear it today from your heavenly Father. "You are my beloved child. In you, I'm well pleased." "You're my beloved child. In you, I'm well pleased." Hear it with all the power that Jesus brings to that, because through Jesus we are adopted into his family. He has chosen us to be part of his family. He doesn't begrudge us and say, "Okay, I guess I have to take you because Jesus, my son, died for you." No. From the creation of the world, we heard that in Ephesians chapter 1, God chose us to be his child, to adopt us into his family. And so Jesus is the one who conveys that perfect closeness. And through Jesus, we also have that close, intimate, loving, caring, nurturing relationship with God. We all need a Father's love. See what love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. So we are. Through faith in Jesus Christ. And as I said to the children, that verse from John chapter 1, verse 12, that those who received Jesus, who believed in his name, he's given the right to become children of God, born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but born of God. We begin a new relationship with him because of Jesus Christ. We are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know your Father in heaven loves you? Earthly fathers, we need to hear this. You know, I have seven children. Father's Day is a big day for me. It actually is kind of fun now because my kids, none of them will be home this Father's Day. They got families of their own. They got children that need to honor their dad, you know. So it's fun. We've passed along the torch. I don't begrudge it at all. I'm just happy to see my kids serving the Lord in each of their places. And you might think, "Well, that's great, Pastor. You did a great job. All your kids are serving the Lord." And I could say, yeah, you know, I was just a great dad. But the fact is, I wasn't. Yeah, I did some things right, and God used that and magnified it. I did a lot of things wrong, and God used that in different ways. But if there's one thing that I could do, the one thing maybe that I did right, is I showed and directed my kids to their Heavenly Father. And God, as their Heavenly Father, filled in the gaps that I couldn't do. He made up for the mistakes that, you know, I sadly made. And all of us as fathers, we're not meant to do this on our own. We can't be the perfect dad. But we have a perfect Father in heaven. And He'll fill in the blanks. So the most important thing you do is direct your kids to their Heavenly Father. And do your best to model that on earth and to model it with humility to say, you know I'm not a perfect dad to you, but I just hope you'll see the love your Heavenly Father has for you, the love that I can't show you in its fullness. Well, it's never too late to make a lasting impression on our children. This was true about a man named Greg, and I've shared this story before, and I think it's a good one to end our message today. Greg's voice was filled with excitement as he called his dad. He wanted to share with his father the good news. Well, it looks like tomorrow is going to be the day. The day he had worked hard for, the day he had hoped for. It was the pinnacle of his growing number of achievements in his career as a design engineer of satellites. The conversation lasted only a few minutes because others were standing in line to use the phone. Well, this goes back before we all had cell phones. Okay. We'll get to that date in a minute. He waited until he was ready to hang up, and then he said it. "I love you, Dad." He'd never told his father that before. And right then and there, on the other end of the line, in front of his wife and their out-of-town guests, Greg's dad, normally unemotional, stoic, broke down in tears. He'd never heard his son say that to him, and he had never said that to his son. With tears, he said, "I love you, son." Not in all of Greg's 41 years had he heard his dad express his love, and he would never have a chance to hear it again. And his dad would never have a chance to say it again. Because on January 28, 1986, Greg Jarvis and his six crewmates died as the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded 9 miles over the Atlantic Ocean. It's a tragic fact that many, many people have never received their father's love and have never heard those three simple words expressed, "I love you." We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the rest of today's hold. But do this. Hear this truth. See what love the Father has for you, that you should be called His children. And so you are. We don't know when we might need to stand before God. But we need to hear this right now, that He loves us. And He wants us to receive the means by which we can truly call Him Father, and that is to receive His Son, Jesus. You need to do it. Greg Jarvis's dad had one last opportunity, and he made it good. This might be our opportunity. Don't wait. Heavenly Father, thank You that You give us the love that comes only through Jesus Christ. A love that is inexpressible, amazing, lavished on us. Lord, help us to understand how dearly and greatly You love us and chose us and want us as Your child. Father, if there's anyone here today who's not really heard that before, who's not received it before, Lord, may they simply cry out to You, Lord, Heavenly Father, I know, I believe that You do love me. I believe that You love me so much that You sent Your Son to die for my sin. I believe that You loved me so much that You came into this world through Your Son, Jesus, to bring me, a lost sheep, back to You. And I confess my sin. I confess the fact that I need a Savior. And I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and into my life, and by faith, that I can become Your child. and because Jesus rose from the dead, that I can have the confidence that I can live with you forever. Father, for all of us, may we live out our lives recognizing our desperate need of a Father's love, our Heavenly Father's love. Father in heaven, may we live in that love, in that relationship with you daily through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.